Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, it's no surprise that COVID-19 has played a huge impact in the how, when, where, and why consumers buy. But the one thing that has remained consistent is that consumers want choice. Now, because of the state of the economy, more consumers are looking for more ways to help with their purchasing decisions. Now, this provides a great opportunity for merchants to make retail financing options available to their consumers. However, not all retail finance solutions are created equal. And as consumers demand speed and a superior experience, many typical retail finance solutions do not meet the needs of today's busy consumer. This is where waterfall lending can be a solution that not only maximizes retail sales, but provides the speed and experience consumers demand. So to talk more about retail finance and waterfall lending, I have Mitch Farrow, who is the CEO of MasterCard Vise, and Brian Riley, who is the director of the credit advisory service at Mercator Advisor Group. So there's certainly a lot of great insights to take away from this episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Mitch and Brian, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, where we're going to be taking a look at retail financing here. Now, Brian, I really want to start off this conversation with you here today, because I'm hoping that maybe you can kind of provide our audience with a little bit of maybe kind of payments 101 to walk our audience through what retail financing is, and then perhaps kind of give a little bit of an overview of that current market to kind of set the table for the rest of this discussion here today.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. You know, there's certainly a place for in everybody's household budget for a payment card, but there's times when an installment loan might make sense. For retailers, having an installment loan is a way to increase their sales. For consumers, it's a way to really isolate a purchase and make sure that it can be taken care of. In today's economy, when we look at tightening credit lines and a lot of angst on the future of the economy, preserving your credit line on your credit card is a very good strategy. And that's where installment loans come in and make a lot of sense. They allow a consumer to have a discrete purchase and have it financed specifically outside the general realm of a credit card. And that's a good option as you're looking towards the uncertainty that we have in the economy and being able to preserve that credit line. So we'll be talking about consumer lending and installments today, and a concept we'll also get into is the thought about waterfall lending, which is a way for retailers to increase their penetration with consumers.
Excellent. Now, Mitch, I'm a little bit curious, maybe from your side of the fence of things, perhaps maybe you could kind of also enlighten our audience to maybe some of the trends that you're seeing from your side of things.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. We see consumer demand for retail financing really exploding. And, in our view of the world, retail financing is a wide spectrum of types of solutions out there. But, just to pick on one that Brian talked about, installment financing specifically has really been trending upwards. It's growing between 18 and 22%, so about 20% per year, which is really about five times stronger than general purpose credit cards. So we see retail financing in general being extremely popular right now for some of the reasons that Brian talked about around the economy and the consumer households needs to manage their budget, but within that specifically, installments growing significantly. What that means is that we're seeing from merchants a real interest in being able to offer this to their consumers, because obviously they want to be competitive and they want to offer consumers what the consumers are looking for. And right now, in terms of retail financing, they're looking at, okay, what should I do around alternative financing? And so that trend from consumers is now, driving a merchant trend around an interest in retail financing.
Well, to Mitch's point also, as that installment lending has increased, what we've seen is revolving debt in the United States decrease as we hit the recession revolving debt in the United States in the first quarter was $1.1 trillion. And as of July, it fell down to $894 billion. And there's two reasons for that happening, one of which is households being a lot more conservative. You know, it's not necessarily a great time to buy a refrigerator or a large appliance on your credit card as we enter a tough economy. And also, lenders have tightened up their portfolios in the interest of risk management.
Yeah, now if we could, Mitch, I'd like to get back to one of the points that you had made there in terms of just the merchant needs, right? You know, because I certainly think that we talked a little bit about the consumer end of things, but from your perspective, what are the top really kind of considerations merchants have to make when considering kind of this alternative financing that we're talking about today?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, first we should start from what merchants are looking to do. And, you know, obviously the baseline aspect here is that merchants simply want to sell more, right? They want to have more consumers walking out of their shops, whether that's a physical brick and mortar shop or a virtual online shop, with the goods that those consumers are looking for, and to serve more consumers, you know, with more volume. They simply want to sell more. And so to do that, one of the things we see when we think about retail financing is that merchants need to think about serving all of their consumers. So that means consumers maybe who don't have just the, you know, super prime FICO score, or maybe a consumer who's new to credit, right? A consumer who's just entering the workforce or has just entered this country, for example, who would be new to credit and are looking to still be able to serve those consumers. So one of the things that we'll talk about later is that merchants who traditionally might have gone with one lender to provide their financing needs are looking beyond that one lender and how they can serve a wider spectrum of consumers for retail financing. The other piece that we see from a merchant's perspective is that they want to preserve their brand and their relationship with that consumer. So while, you know, on the one hand, they want to offer those consumers the way that the consumer wants to pay, at the same time, they want to have a relationship with that consumer and not necessarily have that consumer's loyalty, for example, be with a payment brand or you know, an alternative payment method. And so from a merchant's perspective, how do I offer that consumer financing, but also preserve my brand and my loyalty with that consumer? And we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, options that we have from a Vyze perspective to have merchants brand in front of the consumer and for them to retain ownership of the experience with the consumer.
Yeah, and I certainly think all of that is absolutely important, right? And, you know, one of the things that you brought up there that I really kind of latched on to, and I want to dig into a little bit deeper here, right, was the ways that consumers want to pay, right? I think that that has become such a critical component to the just the payment experience overall, and certainly something that everybody in the payments value chain needs to pay attention to is that user experience, that end experience there. So let's, I know initially we kind of talked a little bit about the consumer end of things, but let's now talk about the consumer benefits, right? So Mitch, from your perspective, what are really those top considerations consumers have to make when approaching alternative finance?
Yeah, I think consumers really want confidence, they want control, and they want convenience. And you know, within those aspects, there's a variety of different ways they can reach those benefits. So, for example, they want to increase their purchasing power, right? So, I want the ability to, as Brian talked about earlier, I need to buy a new refrigerator, but I don't want to impact my credit score. I want a way to have that purchasing power. So they want that control and confidence there. They want access. They want to be able to access the financing everywhere they shop, whether that's in-store, online, or with a call center over the phone. And we see that a lot with our merchants who are looking for consumers, for example, to be able to apply in-store for financing but use it online. Or they're talking to a call center, maybe they're planning a trip, for example, and they're talking to a call center agent and they want to finance that trip via while on the phone with a call center agent. So they want access everywhere, you know, the omni-channel access to financing. They want it to be easy. And the biggest thing when we talk about confidence is they want that assurance that they'll be approved for the financing, right? There's nothing worse than applying for financing. Let's say you're in a store, you're with a store associate and being declined for that financing. So they want that assurance that they'll be approved for the right financing that fits their needs. And if a merchant can make that happen, we know the consumer will apply for financing again with that same merchant and use that financing with that merchant, because it gives them that assurance and that confidence that they get the financing when they need it and the financing that fits their needs. You know, and finally, when we talk about control for the consumers, and this goes back to what Brian was talking about with respect to especially the emergence of installments as being, a big trend we're seeing, is consumers want to be able to manage their budgets, and installments financing specifically provides them that real assurance that, yeah, I can spread this payment over, let's say, $200 a month over 6 months, and yeah, that fits with my budget. So overall, what we see is this is definitely a consumer-driven trend, that when they're given the option for financing and the option for certain types of financing, they'll use that, and because it gives them that confidence and that control and that convenience.
You know, Mitch hits on an interesting point in that the world has changed from retail finance over the years. You know, big players in the retail financing side used to be Sears, Montgomery Ward's, Federated Stores, Macy's, and so forth, where the retailer had a significant play into the judgmental lending done on applications. But with the growth of bank cards over the years and the stress in the economy, retailers have had to step away from that function. But they still have the same goal here. They need to close sales. Retailers are there to be retailers, not lenders. So having a field of relationships with lenders is something that is to the retailer's benefit, and also to the consumer's benefit. You know, and I agree with what Mitch said. You know, there's nothing worse than, you know, going into your favorite store, getting turned down for goods and services you plan to buy. It's going to change your relationship with that retailer. So having incremental opportunities out there to place a loan is beneficial for both the merchant and the consumer.
Yeah, and I certainly think that this whole subject here is very fascinating, right? And so I want to get into the waterfall lending part of this here, because I certainly think that it needs a bit of an explanation here. So Brian, I'd like to start with you, because I know that Mercator Advisor Group has this fantastic chart that really explains and kind of, I think, a very simple way of what waterfall lending is. So perhaps maybe you could unpack that chart here for our audience so it helps kind of show the differences between the alternatives and waterfall lending.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Waterfall lending is a clever way to approach retail finance. And it really answers the question, if my customer doesn't get through with the first lender, what do I do with it? I don't want to leave them disappointed at the point of sale. And I don't want to throw away that application. And I have the potential for sale. So what you see on this chart is that the waterfall lending takes you through a flow where you're not just dealing with one lender, but there are other steps within the process. Now, if you imagine, these are Mercator's numbers for estimating volumes, but they're pretty solid within the industry. And you figure a good case is about half the applications are going to get approved the first time. So what do you do with the rest? You know, if you come in with 1,000 units at $450,000 in potential sales, I've got potentially, I'm losing half as many people as I booked. So the waterfall takes the customer to the next step. And that's where we see lender two here. Lender two will not necessarily approve all the applications. They're still going to have tight standards as a secondary lender, but they'll approve a batch of them. So we take that remaining 50%, which was 500 sales units and 225,000 in sales, and just for the sake of conversation, let's assume that a quarter of those go through the process. So I have the opportunity as a merchant to book another $56,000 in sales off those remaining units. That's 125 happy customers out of my original 1,000 customer base. And then continuing the cycle, what do I do with the turndowns from lender two? And that's where the waterfall really can salvage things here in the relationship. Tertiary lenders tend to do some creative things in their lending. They certainly will price to risk, but they'll also bring up opportunities like rent to own as an example. So here in this third sector, we assume that 70% of what made it through the second lender can be dealt with on an approval basis. And that's generating another 375 applicants. And of those 375 applicants, I'm going to close another $100,000 in sales. So the important thing to think about with waterfall lending is it's not one and done. It's not a matter of declining a customer then walking away. It's finding another resource where that money, that sale can go and the retail can close additional transactions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one key thing, you know, aspect of this, and, you know, I'll go back to Ryan, what you said earlier about, you know, the user experience and the consumer experience, is that what we strive to do at Advise with this, with our solution, is we make all of this transparent to, invisible to the user, actually, where at the end of the day, the user just knows I've been approved for financing, and they don't need to understand, you know, everything that's going on behind the scenes about essentially going through the waterfall with multiple lenders. They simply, within, you know, seconds of their application, know that they've been approved for financing and what the terms and conditions of that financing are. So the approach is very much about making it easy for the consumer, one application, and making it a very positive user experience where, you know, they understand that there's a financing offer for them.
And Ryan, let's take a look at the next slide, the calculus of lending, because certainly there's a lot of consumer satisfaction here. We're walking out with the goods that we started with. But let's look at the impact to the retailer. And in this chart, it's titled the calculus of waterfall lending. Where we would have stopped under the normal condition is at lender one. I come in with 1,000 units, potential $450,000 in sales, and using that 50% approval rate we started with, I'd end up with 500 units and $225,000 in sales. But on the other hand, I'd be rejecting as many people as I approved. The waterfall lending pushes that filtration process into lender two, where lender two now starts with 500 apps that are alive. It's got a book value of potentially $225,000 in sales. Using that low approval rate, just to be conservative and work with the logic here, I can walk away with another 125 closed deals, generating 56,000. And then going to the third level, I've got a remaining 375 unapproved apps. I'm going to a different lender who's going to probably use different structures. And I'm assuming that the approval rate is going to be much higher than the secondary lender. There'll be offers on about 70% of the people. And at the end of the day, I end up with 263 units closed at $180,000 in sales. So look at what's happened here. We've had that 500 units that were approved, and this is where the old process ended. Now I end up with 888 deals closed. And instead of having 225,000 in sales, my sales have almost doubled to $399,375.
Yeah, Brian, I think it's a great point. And I like how you basically brought in, you know, the benefit to the merchant. And so we really believe that, you know, this type of solution has multiple winners. It is truly a win-win-win type of situation. You know, the consumer, we already talked about earlier, they receive the financing they need. They don't have a negative experience of being declined for financing, and they've got the goods or services that they were looking to purchase. the merchant gains through increased sales, which Brian just walked us through, you know, the calculus there, which is great. And then the lender also benefits, right? Each of the lenders in this waterfall, you know, get the ability to access consumers that they wouldn't have been able to before. So it's really, in our mind, a win-win-win type of solution for all the players that are all the participants in the financing.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Brian and Mitch, for taking the time today, for speaking to me about retail finance and explaining waterfall lending to our audience here today. And I hope to have both of you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan.
Sounds good. Thank you.